And now, here's our host to tell you more about what's coming up next. Host, go host. There you go, host.
Okay, everybody, so welcome to another Planet Hoops podcast. Today we have a very special guest on the line from Iowa, a very well-respected coach with a tremendous amount of experience. It's Coach Randy Brown from CoachRB.com, CoachRB.com. Please check out the website. Randy has coached at the university level in the States. He's been a high school coach. He's been assistant. He's been a head coach. He's been at Drake University, North Dakota, Marquette, Miami of Ohio. He's been to the Elite Eight in 1999 with Iowa State. He's coached some NBA players that have gone on to play in the NBA, I should say. So he's coached with some very good coaches. He's been mentored by some very good coaches, and that's one of his programs that he has on his website, the Coach Mentoring Program. So I'll give it over to Randy to fill us in on the rest of his background, and then we're going to have a little conversation today about basketball and coaching, and hopefully you guys will get something out of it. So, Randy, welcome.
Well, thanks, Todd. Appreciate you having me on, and thanks for the introduction. I spent 25 years as a coach around the country, first as a high school coach here in Iowa for 5 years, and then just was very fortunate to be able to get into the college game, and it's one of the things I work with young coaches around the country on right now, sort of how to get your foot in the door. And there's an awful lot of young people that really dream about being a college coach but really don't understand how. And so it's one of the programs, now that I'm in my post-coaching life right now, that I'm very passionate about, and have developed some programs around being able to get a chance to become a college coach, one of the many different things I'm involved in. But really, essentially, you know, what my goal is, Todd, is to use my experience in the game. And I've been very fortunate to have worked with some great coaches and had some great experience, but to use that to help others. In taking a look at what I was going to do in my post-coaching career, I thought, boy, it'd be kind of a shame if I set all these things aside and then just moved on to something else and sort of forgot it. So I'm very passionate about helping others, and just as I was helped on the way up as a young coach, just helped by a tremendous amount of people, and very indebted to them for that, because I could very well not have become a college coach, and really unsure as to what my career would look like today. So, again, glad to be with you, and look forward to visiting about all kinds of good basketball stuff today.
Absolutely. It's great to have people like yourself on the line, because people will listen in, and they'll I do find there's a lot of people that come to my website and ask me questions. A lot of players wanting to know, you know, how do I get a job overseas? We get lots of players like that, but there's also a lot of coaches that I get wanting to know how to go overseas, or how do I get a job in college, or they're high school coaches and they just want to move on. And so with your mentoring program, is that something that is more geared to getting that college job, or is that a different program you have on your site?
Well, actually, specifically, I have developed an elite college coaching program, which is specifically around those young coaches who, again, have the dream and just have no idea how to do it. I get an awful lot of emails, Todd, and that will be pretty much the standard question. I have this desire. Can you help me? What advice do you have? And, you know, we can go on the internet or read books about all kinds of different areas, whether it be in business or education or coaching, and sometimes we can find what we need. But this seems to be a very particular niche, a very particular area, and there aren't places that you can go that I know of where you can actually work with a coach who has actually done what you want to do. And I think a lot of times, in general, that's where coaches are missing out on their ability to improve themselves. Because, you know, if I'm a young person in college and I want to be an accountant, it would serve me well to seek out those who have been very successful in accounting, and to find out from them some advice and some things they've done. And I think too many times in coaching we try to go it on our own. And so I really, when I get these inquiries, I really try to impress upon these young coaches that it doesn't matter whether it's me or somebody else, but find someone that can mentor you that has done what you want to do. And a lot of times you can go through, boy, you can avoid a ton of pitfalls and really, you know, years of being frustrated trying to do something by just getting with something, getting with someone, a mentor. And so I've developed this program. I don't know of another one that's out there that's like this. I really enjoy doing it. And so that's one of the programs. The other one is that I do individual mentoring with coaches just for self-improvement. You know, those that don't have a philosophy, that really need to develop a philosophy, maybe young or even experienced coaches who are just maybe experiencing some frustration in their career, dealing with parents possibly or kids or just, you know, that they might have some other things going on in their life which is really a deterrent to their coaching. And so I offer kind of a well-rounded mentoring program, and I really, really enjoy it. And just always hoping to expand and delve into some other areas. But right now, that pretty much sums up my mentoring.
Well, that's great. I do think that is important. I know from my background, one of the jobs that I took was when I was in Australia, and I worked with Brian Gorgian, who is the current national team coach of Australia, and I worked with him for two seasons. And what I did was I did the video. I broke down video for his just manually, not with a computer, but we had some digital video, a mini DV editing system. It wasn't computer based, but you know, working with the coach, I can say for 2 years, and he's the all time winningest national basketball league coach in Australia. He's an American that's been in Australia about 30 years. It's a tremendous learning experience to be able to sit down every day of practice and watch how they prepare practice, how they discuss, you know, what they're going to be doing to beat the other team. How do we mm-hmm. take everything away, you know, and mm-hmm. let's see it on the video. Let's see what we did well. Let's see what we didn't do well. And, you know, just immersing yourself in that is there is no value you can put on that, because it's not a classroom. It's real life. It's a real life classroom. So it's much more enjoyable, and you actually get to, you know, be around the players. You get to be around the coaching staff, and it's like a 24 hours a day, 7 days a week type of a atmosphere where you're living and breathing the game. And if you love it, then that's something that's no problem for you. As I'm sure you're aware, when you're starting mm-hmm. a lot of these coaches, mm-hmm. like on your page here, that is the success stories, the coach mentor success stories. There's a lot of good information there, and you know, you've got guys like Lawrence Frank, who's an NBA head coach,
mm-hmm.
path number one, starting as a college basketball manager, and I know he worked for the Vancouver Grizzlies, and I remember hearing stories about him as a tireless worker, and he was just always there all the time, and now he's a head coach in the NBA from a university manager, like that.
Yes,
you know, that blows me away. And maybe you can tell us a couple of other stories about him, or if you know, and other paths down that line that coaches can take.
You know, I like to use stories like Lawrence Frank because, you know, too many times I think young coaches feel like, you know, some goals they set are unattainable. And I tell the story about Lawrence, how he's an undergraduate manager. I first met him as I was leaving the Marquette staff on the way to Miami of Ohio, and he came in to work for Kevin O'Neill, and you basically was just kind of a volunteer. He tremendous work ethic, like you said, but you know, his experience was he had a really kind of a small level of experience. And but that's when I met him, and it's fun. It's been incredible to watch his career and see how it's evolved. And of course, now he's probably the third, fourth, fifth coach in the NBA with the most seniority. And it's a great, great story. Another one that I shared the other night, and I do, by the way, programs on the phone, much like what we're doing, live programs with the coaches that I mentor. We all dial into a number, and I have either a program that I have prepared and host, or I have guests call in. In fact, the last two guests I've had, Scott Howard is the director of scouting with the Charlotte Bobcats. Scott was on Monday night for an hour with our group live, giving just, you know, unbelievable nuggets of advice. And Scott had been a college coach for about 16 years before he jumped into the NBA. He's been in the NBA 8 years, and a guy that I've known, and we actually grew up together. And then 2 weeks prior to that, I had Brian Hague on the phone. Brian is the assistant GM of the New Orleans Hornets and also their director of scouting. And Brian was actually an undergraduate manager at Iowa State with Tim Floyd when I was there, and then the year later worked for Larry Eustachy, and then went off and began his coaching career and dabbled in video editing, like you had mentioned, and worked for Coach Floyd at both Chicago and New Orleans, and then was able to stick with Byron Scott and the guys, the staff at New Orleans. And he's got a tremendous situation. And, you know, those are the types of stories that I like to share because, you know, we can sell a lot of hopes and dreams, but I think they're pretty empty unless you can attach particular stories to them. And that's what I try to do. And it's an invaluable experience. I think it's of high, high value because I not only allow the young coaches I'm mentoring on this program to ask questions of these coaches that I have on as guests, but they also exchange contact information. And networking is really what it's all about in terms of moving up the ladder in coaching. And so just in the last 2 weeks, each of the young people in my program have got two NBA guys with tremendous college backgrounds as now contacts as they begin to build their network. And those things are extremely important, as you know, in any profession, but, boy, especially coaching, to work your way up. And so those are just kind of some of the really neat things we do in the program.
That's fantastic. It really, you know, and also with my background, I've been an assistant to two different universities in my area where I grew up in Vancouver, the University of British Columbia and Simon Fraser University. And you learn so much as an assistant. See these other stories that you have. And I think it says here Scott Howard was a high school student assistant before he went
yes,
to the
he sure was.
A scout with the Bucks and the head university coaching. And Nick Nurse, who has nicknurse.com. I know I've seen his mm-hmm. website, and I know he was a very good player and a very successful coach in England and other, I think, another part of Europe now. He's the coach of the Iowa Energy, which is a farm mm-hmm. team. He could be in the NBA. You know, we can go on and on with all these stories because you have
right.
so many people listed on your website. And so I think it's a good thing for people that are listening to check that out and look into the coach mentoring. Do you have a trial membership, or how does it work if they want to get involved with your program?
So what I do, Todd, is I offer a free 30-minute session on the phone, and I will call at an appointed time that's good for the coach. And we'll visit. The program isn't for everybody, and so what I try to do is evaluate in a half-hour conversation sort of really a couple things. Where you're at as a coach right now and what some of your experiences are. I think it's really important to ascertain information like age, although that's age, young or old, is not a deterrent, but it's important to know that. You know, if you have family obligations or if you're single. And then really, though, where you are now, but where you want to go. I think it's so easy for us in our lives, in our professions, to say, here's where I'm at, but here's where I want to do. Okay, that's all well and good, and goal setting is terrific. But if it's done properly, it is all the steps and the planning between where I am and where I want to go that will actually get you there. If not, it's just kind of an empty wish, if you would. And I've seen a lot of coaches become disgruntled and say, well, you know, this didn't work out, or this guy didn't give me a chance, and those are the guys without a plan. If you have a plan, a step-by-step plan to get you from A to B, I'm really confident because I've done it and I've seen it done so many times that you can accomplish just about anything that you put your mind to. And so on that 30-minute conversation, I get a real good feel not only for where they are but where they want to go, and then I match their particular situation with what my program offers. And if it's a good fit, then we move forward. And I've got just really what I call a starter packet. It's a 6-CD set along with, about probably 25 different attachments I send through email to get the coaches up and going. And so in the 6 CDs, they'll have 4 and probably about 6 hours of programming from, you know, previously recorded programs that I've had. Like I said, Scott Howard, Charlotte Bobcats, Brian Hagan, New Orleans Hornets, a host of college coaches from Gonzaga to Charlotte to Iowa State to Washington State, all over the country. And so this starter packet is really good. It gives them a flavor for the depth of the program. And so that essentially would be, I guess, the equivalent of a trial offer. But I want to make sure that it's a fit, because if it's not, the young coach is wasting their time, and if I'm not able to match what they need, then there's no use that they invest in the program. But that's how we get started. That's level one, Todd. And then level two is once they've gone through that and usually become really motivated and excited about what the program can offer and how they can move ahead very quickly, I have them join a monthly program called College Coach Now, and we meet twice a month for an hour each. Again, these are live on the phone programs, and then so twice a month they stay hooked in. What I've seen in the past is coaches get really excited about doing something, whether it be jumping into a college coach program or maybe just a beginning, somebody's just beginning a career possibly, and they get real excited about it, but that's temporary. That lasts for about 10 days, mm-hmm. And then where do I go from here, and where's the continued motivation? And so I developed the monthly program as a way to continue progressively moving ahead with their desire to be a college coach. And boy, I tell you, we cover just about everything from resume writing to goal setting to how to go in and work college basketball camps to help you build your network, talking awful lot about all of the strategies, a dozen strategies on how to build your network, talk a lot about what makes a good assistant coach, setting goals in terms of what level do I want to begin at. We talk a lot about what's the best kind of entry-level job. And so we really get under the surface. And so I'm glad you asked that question. I appreciate it. The mentoring program is really at two levels. It's the beginning, kind of starter level with the phone call, and then the follow-up with that 6-CD set, and then we have them jump right into our monthly program. And I'll tell you what's really rewarding is since I started this program, Todd, 2 years ago, we've had six young coaches get their first entry-level college position, and we've had a number of other coaches take higher-level positions within college, because about half of my mentoring group are already in college and the other half are in high school. And so I've had an awful lot of them make progress, which is very fulfilling to me. And that's why I'm doing this.
That's great. I think it is unique, because I've never heard of anything like this either. And, you know, like a lot of times people just relied on their own network in the past to get a job. And now when someone's offering this service where you have all this information, and it almost sounds like a step-by-step method or formula of how to achieve your goal and even, you know, help you define your goal, I think a lot of people are going to take you up on that offer as more and more people learn about it. So I encourage you, obviously, to keep that going. And I wish I would have had something like that when I was younger, because, it would definitely have helped me. But I also think that college basketball or pro basketball is not for everybody. It's not as glamorous as people always mm-hmm. think it is. And that shouldn't be the reason why someone gets into that. It's because you got to love it and really enjoy the teaching, and because all that other stuff kind of, after all the long hours, if you're not in it for the love of it, the money, I mean, the amount of money that you get paid is pretty marginal when you're first starting. And it's, you don't do it for the money. You do it because you love it. And when people are trying to get into that, I don't know if you would agree with me or not, when people are getting in for the wrong reasons, like you said, you have to make sure it's the right fit for them. I think that's really important that they know that at the beginning.
Well, exactly right. If it's not a right fit, it's going to be a short career, and it's going to be a very disillusioned process. Each of the guests that are on, it's great you say that, because Scott Howard, in length, talked about his first 4 years coaching in college. He was with George Raveling at the University of Iowa. Scott made a grand total. He volunteered this grand total of $24,000 in 4 years. and that's how he got started. And he basically, you know, he basically just did whatever he had to do to not only do the best job he could there in that first volunteer graduate level type of job, but in order to, you know, to move ahead and get the next job. I talk a lot about what it's really all about. I mean, I would really be doing young people a disservice if I said, boy, there's nothing like walking out of that tunnel in the NCAA tournament with 21,000 in the stands and the feelings around that. And I mean, that, yes, that's part of it if you can get to that level. But boy, the things you have to do between the time you start and then are the real things. It's working for little or no money. It's working till midnight. It's and I always say it might take you 2 years to get a staff shirt and a pair of shoes, but that's okay. But you better know that going in. I have a lot of great stories about how I've just been so specific with young guys, and we've helped them get their first jobs, and tell them exactly what it's going to be like, and they'll call back and say, Coach, I didn't know it was going to be like this. And I always remind them, no, wait a minute. We had a conversation before you ever started this process, and we told you exactly how it was going to be. And so, you know, we can say we want something, again, back to what I talked about before, but are we willing to do everything it takes to make that happen? If I were to poll 1,000 young aspiring coaches and ask them how many of them wanted to be college basketball coaches, there'd be very few hands not raised. And if I were to then ask how many are willing to, here's what it's going to take, and how many are willing to do everything it will take to get there, you would have a pretty small percentage of those left. And of that, I'd cut that about a fourth, and that final group is who is going to make it. I have a term in my program, Todd, I call 10 percenter. I really think out of 10 young people that want to be young guys and young women who want to be college coaches, in my experience, 10% of those that come to me initially and say they want to do this are going to end up being in college coaching. And because basically the other nine either are uninformed as to what it's going to take, or they understand what it's going to take, but again, they're not willing to do what it's going to take to get them there. And like anything else, you know, they're sifted out, they don't make the cut, and they move on and do other things, which is fine. But boy, those 10% that make it, they really have a great opportunity. And fortunately for me, as young coaches work through my mentoring program, I do end up with 10 percenters, and that's why these guys are getting jobs, not just talking about it, but actually getting jobs. And so there's a real challenge there, and it has to be a good fit, but I really think I can do them an awful lot of good and help them along the way if they jump in full bore.
Well, that's perfect. I look forward to hearing more stories and news on how that's going.
Now, welcome back to the show.
One of the things I wanted to ask you about, just looking on your website, is about your coaching philosophy, because I think that is important that every coach does have a philosophy and knows why they're coaching, what they're trying to accomplish. And one of the things I like is about your 30-minute test.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk a little bit about your philosophy and how you developed your philosophy, and then maybe talk about that 30-minute test, because I think that's something that I never really have heard of before. But when I look at it, you know, I think, yeah, the top three things. I mean, that's crucial. And so,
mm-hmm.
Tell us a little bit about that and how it came about, your philosophy.
Probably 8 years into my coaching career, I was asked by a coach who I consider one of the best coaches in college basketball, who's now coaching in the Developmental League in the NBA for Nick Nurse here at the Iowa franchise, but Gary Garner. And I worked with Coach Garner at Drake University, and he actually went from Drake and won a national championship at Fort Hays State. He's been a very, very, very successful coach for a long time. But I went to work for Coach Garner, and one day, very early in my journey with him, we were watching some film, and he turns to me and he says, "So tell me, are you an offensive coach or a defensive coach?" And as just about any young person, a little bit full of themselves like I was, thought I was a pretty good coach and sort of had it figured out, I said, well, Coach, I think I'm good at both of them. And he said, I hope that's the last time that I ever hear you say that. He said, you're either an offensive coach or a defensive coach. And I tell you, it took a long time for me to come to grips with that and try to figure out what he was saying. And what he was saying was, this game from A to Z has a lot of parts to it. You know, we can go to clinics and we can read about all kinds of zone offenses, defenses, skill development, drills, fast breaks, slowdown, set plays, motion offense, ways to condition student athletes. And we get pretty confused. And as young coaches, we try to do everything because we're trying to be the master of all those things. And as they say, the master of all is the master of none. And so Coach really put it to me. And I came back the day later and I said, Coach, I'm a defensive coach. You know, I'm going to stand, I'm going to represent the defensive end of the floor as a coach. Now, don't get me wrong, you know, any of the young coaches that are listening, it doesn't mean that you totally ignore the offensive end of the floor. But there is not enough time, energy, brain power, or focus on the part of the young people that you're going to coach to be able to do everything. I know we want to and we think we can, but we can't. So he then followed that up and said that, and he talked about Mr. Iba, and actually, you know, the legendary Hank Iba, Mr. Iba they call him, whose son Mo worked with Gary for 1 year at Drake University. So Gary's network works way back into Mr. Iba, and he talked about how Mr. Iba had a top three. And he said, and I have a top three. We're going to rebound, we're going to defend, and we're going to take care of the basketball. And I thought, well, that's pretty simple. I said, you know, and I'm, of course, as a young coach, I'm thinking, well, you got out-of-bounds plays. And he said, no. He said, we are going to be very good at those three things. We're going to do a good job with everything else, or as good a job as we can, but we are going to be very good. When we walk in that locker room at the end of a game, win or lose, we're going to know that we've done justice to those three things. Because he really felt that those three things collectively would give his team the best chance to win every night out. And I'll tell you, it was like opening Pandora's box to me. And so we call it the top three. And I really challenge coaches, no matter how long they've been coaching. And in fact, I'm speaking at a clinic Friday evening and Saturday afternoon at the Iowa Basketball Coaches Association, which is one of the largest groups in the country. They'll have anywhere between 750 and 1,000 coaches. And one of the things I'm going to talk about is branding yourself as a coach. Who are you? What do you represent? And if I walk in the gym within 30 minutes, can I write down the three things that I think that you believe are the top three things to give your kids the best chance to win? And I think for me, what it did 8 years into my career is it totally took a lot of my notions and just blasted them into the air. And I really had to kind of go back to ground zero and try to figure out where I was as a coach. And I wanted to be a head coach, and when I got to that point, I didn't want to try to figure out how I was going to play or what I valued. I wanted to know. And this was a huge turning point in my career. And so I came up with the 30-minute test, and so I tell coaches, if I walk in the gym, do you think I can name the top three things that you're trying to do? And it's a real eye-opener for coaches because I think a lot of them are caught in the trap of trying to do so many things and yet not doing anything well. And, you know, I believe everything begins and ends on the defensive end of the floor. And so, you know, to me, if you spend a great amount of your time on defense, even though you're probably not going to be as good an offensive team as some other teams you're going to play, I feel, and it's my philosophy, so it's up to me to name it, I feel that you have to start on the defensive end. Now, I've talked, Todd, to a lot of coaches who say, well, we're going to create turnovers with that press, we're going to fast break, and we're going to make more threes than the other team shoots. And, you know, that's fantastic. And my comment always to that coach is, it's tremendous. There's a lot of different ways to play. Just make sure you're committed to those three things. You know, what you don't want to do as a coach is in midstream to say, you know what, guys, we're not getting much out of our fast break. We're not going to break anymore. Our press isn't doing us much good. We're going to pull off the press, and we're going to start to run Bo Ryan swing offense, and we're going to play some zone. And you'll completely lose your players if you do that, and I think you're not doing justice to your own philosophy either. So that's a real long-winded answer, but that was one of the most impactful conversations I've ever had. And then fortunately, it was really, for me, enlightening to then go work for Rich Glass at North Dakota, who had the game defined into three things. Kevin O'Neill at Marquette, who is a tremendous defensive coach and has been in the NBA for a long time, head coach at Tennessee and Northwestern. Went to work for Joby Wright at Miami of Ohio, a Bob Knight former assistant coach and player. And you talk about having things distilled down to the finest elements. That was an unbelievable experience. But the last two guys that I spent most of my time with in my coaching was Tim Floyd and Larry Eustace. And those guys are masters at whittling the game down to its finest forms and then preparing their teams to be the best they can. For instance, Larry Eustace's teams, who were always undersized at Utah State and Idaho, and even our teams here at Iowa State were fairly undersized. But you never find a tougher group, and you never find a better rebounding group. Now, we also spent 45 minutes to an hour in practice, either in defensive and rebounding type drills, or defensive emphasis with an emphasis on rebounding. And so, I mean, because of that, and people said, you know, you guys are crazy. You can't spend that much time on rebounding. And our comment was, we want to be the best rebounding team in the Big 12, which is no small task, but we were and had great success and actually won the Big 12 conference back-to-back times, 99 and 2000. And so that really, to me, proved what Coach Garner told me way, way back when, is you better know what your value in the game and have the ability to teach that. And that's the bedrock of my philosophy, and these are the types of things that I really try to get across to young coaches, because, well, I think you can spend years and years and years trying to master all parts of the game, and really we do nothing but get frustrated as coaches and confused as players, I always like to say. And there's nothing worse than being a confused player, because the results you get are very, very mediocre results out of that.
Yeah, I agree with you. I know that that's one of the things I probably didn't do enough of was have a top three, and that's why when I first read that on your site, it really struck me as being, you know, that's unique. That's pretty interesting. I never thought of that. Never heard of that before. And I'm surprised I've never heard that from any other coaches. But one thing that I do know is when you do try to say, okay, you know, like there's not enough time in practice to master everything. You've got 2 hours, an hour and a half to 2 hours, and you got to prepare for other teams. So it's the same thing as if you try to make every player a great shooter, a great defender, a great passer, a great dribbler. It's the same thing. Every player can't be good at everything. They can't be great at everything. You know, you have players that are, you know, you have your role players, you have your stars, your scorers, you have your best defenders, you have your point guards who take care of the ball, they're specialists, but they all have to have the fundamentals, like you say too, passing, ball handling, shooting, defending, but that it goes to the same with coaching. I totally agree with that, and I wish that more coaches or more coaching courses and more clinics would discuss that concept because it's very valuable. So thank you for that that lowdown on that. I think that would lead in well to the next topic I want to talk about is the youth basketball.
Hold it right there. Don't touch that podcasting control lever. Coming up next in our show.
Youth basketball is where these young kids are going to be developed to one day maybe play in high school and then university. So youth basketball could be anywhere from 5 years old, I guess, up to the high school level. So what I like when I was looking at your site was you have about 7 points that you go through, and I'm one of my passions is youth basketball, so I always love reading about it. And you know, one of the things we talked about earlier before we started recording our interview was about certification. So I'd like to touch on that at some point, but maybe you could talk a little bit about your thoughts on youth basketball and the foundation and the people that coach it, and you know, what, how they should go about coaching. I mean, it's such a broad topic, but maybe we'll just start a little conversation on youth basketball and you know, how you communicate with the parents and the young kids and everything, and the fundamentals obviously being very important. And we'll see where that takes us.
Great. I don't think there's any question from my observation of basketball, from the 72 games in the Olympic Games when we lost to the Soviet Union, and the dominance, though, at that time that American basketball had, until what's happened recently. And I think you can point directly to the way the game has been taught in our country. You know, how have the other countries with not nearly the population base really or knowledge of the game, how have these countries been able to catch up, you know, to our country? And I take it very personally. And boy, I talked to a lot of people from that are outside the United States, and they talk about their model of training, and in so many ways they've got it figured out, and I don't think we have it figured out. And I'm critical at times of our approach to youth basketball. We live in a society of instant gratification. Kids want to play 5-on-5 basketball. Kids love to play games. They love to play in tournaments, and I understand that's part of the game. I mean, we all did, and really in the end, that's what it is. It's playing the game. But you know, we've got it backwards, Todd. If you think about this, at the high school level in the United States, an average team is going to practice 5 times a week, maybe 6, at about 2 hours, let's say, an average. Okay, so we're talking about 12 hours of practice time, and the most games that are going to be played are 2 within that week. So 12 hours and 2 games. Okay, so that's 6, on an average, 6 hours of practice per game. Now, I've got a daughter who's in 6th grade, and I've watched her all the way up from 3rd, 4th, 5th. And what I see is I see more time spent on games than in practice. And this has concerned me for a couple of years, because it is absolutely backwards to the way it should be. It would seem to me that we would want to spend more time building a foundation of fundamentals, understanding the game, learning how to pass, catch, dribble, and shoot, than we would playing games. You know, I call it crawl, walk, jog, run.
Right.
You know, to expect an infant to once they be able to, you know, at one age or whatever, to stand and begin to walk, expect them by that weekend to throw them into a tournament and expect them to run, obviously, would be ridiculous. Mm-hmm. To expect your son or daughter who is 13, 14, or 15, that's just beginning to learn how to drive, to just throw them out in the freeway, obviously doesn't make any sense. But that's really the best example that I can come up with for youth basketball. That's what we do. We sort of shave off the surface of fundamentals, sort of assuming that all kids can dribble, pass, and shoot, and we go right into the team concept. And I think it's been very destructive. And again, I go back to what's happened to our game, as opposed to just the tremendous job that I think teams around the world have done to catch up to us. And so, I am really committed to doing my part to helping coaches, really working with coaches, because, and I should have started with this. I absolutely respect every youth coach in the country. A lot of them are giving their time as parents to really do something they're probably fairly uncomfortable with, and that's coach, especially young people. So let me say, first of all, that I really respect, and I mean, if we didn't have these volunteers, we obviously wouldn't have youth basketball. But, you know, it's the people who run the programs. It's the people in leadership. I think that are really missing the point, because they have these coaches who are volunteering, but yet they must provide the structure of how are we going to teach these young people. In the last week, I've been fortunate enough to run clinics for coaches, coaching the coach on how to coach the young people. And tonight I'm actually going down near Des Moines for an hour to coach about 30 coaches. And in fact, before you called, I was just coming up with I've got about a six-page handout, and we're just talking about building the parts so that the parts can be thrown together to make the whole. And I think we're missing the boat. I don't think that basketball, Todd, is any different than, you know, they say, Tommy Lasorda used to say, baseball, this is a baseball, this is a glove, this game is about throw, catch, run, and hit, period. And it's not any more complicated than that. Basketball is no different. You have to pass it, you have to catch it, you have to bounce it, you know, you're going to have to shoot it, you're going to have to defend players. And if we can't do the parts, how in the world are we going to throw kids into a tournament where they're going to play 3-4 games over a weekend and expect anything but just total chaos and frustration? And that's what I see out there. So as you can tell, I'm pretty fired up about this, and I'm just hoping through, you know, people like yourself who are committed to the same model of teaching and the opportunity we have on the internet to exchange, you know, ideas and share programs, that we can make some kind of a difference. And I love the game, and I grew up playing, and there's no greater game ever invented, and I just hate to see it become mediocre. And I think if we change our philosophy and change our direction, we can get back to making this, you know, the dominant game that we had for a lot of time, and have kids enjoy it. That's really the primary thing. I mean, young people are in sports to enjoy them. Obviously, we're trying to get better at areas, and we're trying to win, but let's enjoy the game. And I think good coaches help kids enjoy the game and not confuse them, and nobody wants to be confused. So that's kind of my take on where it's at and a few things that we're trying to do here.
Well, I think what you say is true, and you know, we can apply this conversation. You can substitute basketball for pretty much any sport. You know,
okay.
In a lot of cases, I know, you know, coaching youth hockey. I mean, we have same issues, similar issues in Canada with hockey, where it's a passion. You know, the number one sport in Canada is hockey, and people, you know, they get their kids playing at a young age, and what they want generally is they think their son or daughter, and maybe it's the same in the United States with football, basketball, baseball, they want their kids to play pro one day, because mm-hmm. for whatever reason, some parents, you know, they think, oh yeah, then they'll have it made, they'll make lots of money, and they think that playing pro sports is the be-all end-all. Mm-hmm. So when they're 5 and 6 years old and they're playing hockey in Canada, I mean, you've got parents screaming and yelling and putting pressure on these kids, where it just you shake your head, saying they're just out there to have fun. They're
right.
They're not even coordinated yet. They're still
right.
Getting, you know, obtaining their motor skills and all that.
Yeah.
And I heard
exactly.
A story the other day of the coach for one of these teams. I don't know how old they were. I think they're pretty young, maybe 7, 8 years old. You know, and why are you guys here? You guys are here. You guys here. You're here to win. You're not here to have fun. If you want to have fun, you go play with somebody else. You know, go play with your friends. You know, and you know, that's the coach. That's the leader. That's
yeah.
what the kids
right.
are getting, and
mm-hmm.
they're going to turn off a lot of kids. They're going to get burnt
right.
out, and I'm sure it's the same in basketball, in a lot of places. I think in Canada, we talked about this earlier before we went on the air. Is we have a, you know, I don't know how successful it is. I know that it's a great concept. It's a great idea, and even all the high school coaches have to, most of them do get certified. It's run through Basketball Canada, and it's called the NCCP, the National Coaching Certification Program. It's not just basketball. It's a kind of a national sporting body where coaches get certified in most sports, most all sports. So you can take a level one theory course. I think they've changed it a bit since I took it.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have the theory behind the coaching philosophies, and then you go into technical, which is you know, the technical aspects of the specific game that you're coaching. So I know you were going to ask me some questions about that earlier. You wanted to know a little bit more about the NCCP.
I'm very intrigued by the concept for a couple reasons. In the States, I know, there is a very minimal certification determined by each state on what a young coach or any coach must do to qualify to be a coach in the school systems here. And that's all well and good, but the problem is very little of what they're asked to do has to do with coaching. It has to do with first aid, it has to do with training, some growth and development issues, and things like that, which are all part of it, obviously. But we're not teaching coaches how to coach. And so our certification model is very short-sighted here. The other thing, too, that I think factors in, Todd, is the fact that we've got a shortage of coaches. You know, there isn't a school district in our country that wouldn't like more coaches. And so what's difficult is I would like to see a much more thorough and focused coaching certification program in our country. But the problem is we have a hard enough time just getting enough coaches as it is. And so if you put additional, you know, requirements on them, what is that going to do? That's just going to make the pool smaller. And so that's a real predicament that we have here. And then the other thing I'm curious about, how your program is made up there, is the ongoing. You know, I think it's one thing to be certified in anything, but, you know, whether it be a lifeguard or whether it be an athletic trainer or whether it be people in the business field, whether it be teachers, you know, they all have to get recertified. They have to always continue to be moving forward to learning more, to being challenged more, to become better coaches, teachers, accountants, whatever it may be. And I don't see that with our approach to certification. It's pretty much we'll give you a stamp of approval, boom, there you go. And in 5 years, you might have to take a weekend class just to sort of, you know, kind of take care of that, and then you can continue to be coach for another 5 years. So I think it's really hurting the quality. But, yeah, really anxious to hear about that sort of the landscape of ours here in the States, and anxious to hear about what you guys do there.
Well, we'll try to keep everybody informed. I know that they have changed the level one, level two, level three. I think there was four levels, and now it's completely revamped. And that kind of answers your question in one sense that I don't even know about it. I don't even know if I have to get recertified, and I don't think they do have any requirements for that. But I do think it is a good idea because there are definitely things that you do learn in taking those courses. And maybe you know, in the sports model in the United States, it's mostly most of the basketball is played in the high schools, and you do have the AAU programs. But in other countries, it's the club system where you have, you know, coaching education programs within the club. I know they used to do that in Australia, where I was. They had domestic competitions and what's called championship or representative. So you have the top players that are more serious playing in the rep, and the ones that are just playing for fun or maybe aren't good enough, they play just in the house leagues or the domestic. But even the domestic leagues had clubs within them that had a coaching coordinator, and they would, you know, I would go and do sessions for the coaches sometimes down there. And I think it's a great way to learn, because a lot of times people have no idea where to start, and it seems so overwhelming because there's so much information. But if you break it down and make it simple, like you do on your site with those 7 points, like developing your own philosophy, communicating with people, working with parents, developing a program of fundamentals, et cetera, I think that's a good place to start. But also, you know, the programs we have up here, like Steve Nash League, all coaches are encouraged to get some sort of basic certification, a Steve Nash League youth certification, for example. And I think that's great. I think it has to be done. And obviously the criminal checks and all that stuff, because if you have coaches, you know, you want to, I know that that's, I'm helping with a high school this year, and I'm an outside coach, so I have to have a criminal record check. I think that's a good thing for when you have any adults working with children. So the one last thing that I wanted to talk to you about with regards to youth basketball is maybe we can finish off with this, because I think it all wraps up into this. And I know when I spoke to the team this year that I'm helping coach, I mentioned this. It's not about the game so much. The sports are about the life lessons, teaching life lessons. When you do play the game, you apply those things that you learn in basketball, you apply them to life. Maybe you can just finish off a little bit about the offense, defense, and teaching the rules of life through the rules of the game.
And that's where it's really at. I really appreciate you making that part of the program. We've completely missed the boat if that isn't the first and foremost reason that we all became coaches. There's no question. I mean, we love the game and we like to win, but you know, for me personally, I've had a lot of adversity in my life, a lot of things that weren't planned. And, you know, it's no different than a game, Todd. I mean, we work so hard in practice with our young players, and we prepare, and as coaches, we're ready, and that game means a lot. And I always look at it like this. Think of all the things during a game that we can't control. You know, the floor might be slippery. You have the whole thing with officials, and they're making judgments that really dictate the course of the game. You have injuries. You know, you have all kinds of different things that you can't control as a coach. And, boy, if that's not life right there, it's a microcosm of life. And I think it's one thing to go through those, but it's another thing. And I think coaches really should be make part of their coaching philosophy is to find those little nuggets and those little pieces of time where they can stop and say, you know, guys, we haven't done real well. We haven't played up to our ability. And, you know, we're down 17 points. Now, we've got a decision to make, okay? Can you accept the fact that you haven't played as well as you're possible of, because there's nothing you can do about that right now? Okay, let's accept that, and let's take these last 7 minutes and do the best that we can, given the situation that we're in. There's so many circumstances in life that are like that. And, boy, I think if you can get them thinking, you know, sort of out of the athletic realm and into the life realm, that's really what it's all about. I know when I played, I was told those types of things, and, you know, it kind of went, it didn't go over my head. I mean, I heard it, but I guess it really didn't register until later. I think athletics are an unbelievable exercise in preparing for life. And so as coaches, let's share those little opportunities we have with the young people that we're coaching to really give them that background. I could go on and on and on about one of my favorites is team defense. You know, in life you've got to be surrounded by people who care about you and have a common cause. You know, whether it be your family or the workplace or a relationship, and you know, relationships are life, and team defense can be a really good example for how you know you need to have people with you and supporting you, and you supporting them, and building relationships in your life just through an example of defense. So I would really encourage, and I do that when I help coaches with their philosophy, to think outside the lines, if you would, to what are some of those real special lessons we can share with young people. That's really what it's all about.
Well, Randy, you've obviously been coached, you've been mentored by some very good coaches, and you've probably been coached yourself when you were younger by some very good coaches, and it's made an impact on you. And it's great to see that you're giving back now, and that's kind of one of the things I'm trying to do as well, is give back. I've had some great coaches and great experiences. It is an amazing sport to teach life lessons, and so you could tell, hopefully people that are listening can tell, that we're both pretty passionate about the game. So
yes,
I want to thank you for taking your time today while you're getting ready to prepare your practice or your clinic notes and lecture notes for the group that you're doing. And, you know, hopefully we can do this again sometime. I do want to encourage people to visit your website at CoachRB, Randy Brown, CoachRB.com, and then also come to my site over at planet-hoops.com or hoop-hype.net. It's the same site, just two different names. And our goal seems to be similar. We just want to keep spreading the how good this game is to the rest of the world, and make any little improvements that we can. And so, Randy, thanks again, and please make hopefully we can make time again to talk about other things, because there's a lot more we can talk about.
Yeah, I'd love to do it again. Thanks for having me on, and I appreciate your contribution as an ambassador to the game, too. We can't have enough, you know, that are trying to help this game for the sake of the game and for sake of the young people. So thanks for everything you do, too, with your program, Todd.
Thanks, Randy, and take care, and we will get this on the air for people to listen to and enjoy, and hopefully we can get some people on your coach mentoring program.
Terrific. Thank you so much.
Okay. Have a great day.
You bet.
Hey, thanks for listening to today's podcast. We'll be here next time. Keep the emails coming in, and be sure to subscribe.